The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes. It is Friday, January 7th, 2011. Welcome to the first weekend of 2011 here with Normal Show Live. Our first hour is podcast as the Normal Daily Audio Stash on iTunes and available for on-demand download at our blog, stash.normal.org. Our second hour is Toker Talk Radio, live talk radio right here on Stick'Em, available only live at 2 o'clock Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for joining us here for the show. We got a bunch of great stuff for you. Normally at this time, I would be turning to our co-host, Ganja John, but he's not in the studio now. Yesterday, you know, he was involved with the British Secret Service. He was running his car and dealing with all of that. Today, he told me that he wanted to join the Marine Corps because he told me that Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed. He wants to join the Marine Corps. And I tried to explain to him that it has nothing to, you know, Don't Ask, Don't Tell has to do with being gay. And he says, no, they can't ask me about my eye and my kidney. So he's a little confused on that. But we've got a special microphone with Ganja John in his eye so that we can find out what he's up to right now. So let's check in on Ganja John.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor.
Oh, this can't be good.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear
well,
you.
Well, I guess he's got more to worry about there in the Marine Corps than here at Normal Show Live. So let's go to our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, where waiting for us is the lovely and talented Cannabis Carrie.
Not in the Marine Corps. Here I am sitting here, not in the Marine Corps.
Not in the Marine Corps. Good luck to Ganja John there at Parris Island. 30 years in the past? 40 years in the past? So glad to hear it. Hey, Cannabis Carrie brings us our hemp headlines right after this first break. What do we have in the news today?
Well, not very good news for people in the Midwest who are hoping that we would get another medical marijuana state. We're going to tell you all about that. Also, the feds have been very busy in the last couple days. I'm going to have to report on some arrests in Las Vegas and even more arrests in Colorado. Sorry.
Okay. Well, not the best news to end the weekend with. Unfortunately, Carrie, we don't have any stories on the Canadian guard bears.
Oh. I know. Where are the Canadian guard bears? They're hibernating.
There's one right there. Oh, my God. Canadian guard bear in the studio guarding our stash here at Normal Show Live. It's going to be a good day, though, because coming up at half past the hour, we're going to get the Celeb Stoner Entertainment Report with Steve Bloom. He's going to tell us all about the bust of Montel Williams and the top celebrity drug bust of 2010, plus some great news about the T-Pop party. We'll get all that from Steve Bloom at half past the hour. And then for our radical rant today, I'm going to give you some interesting information on some post-Prop 19 surveys and the need for us to come up with positive marketing for marijuana before we can ever hope to pass legalization. Plus, hour two, we take your calls in Toker Talk Radio. Stay tuned. It's Normal Show Live.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
The vote was so close yesterday, but in the end, the Illinois House voted against the authorization of medical marijuana in their state. It fell short by only 4 votes in a 56-4 and 60 against the Senate Bill 1381 that would have made Illinois the 16th state to recognize the benefits of medical marijuana. The bill's sponsor, Representative Lou Lang, a Democrat from Skokie, has pledged to continue to push for legalizing medical marijuana. The 61-year-old told media that he would continue to press on this legislation or some version of it until it passes, year after year, telling reporters that he is a young man and he will be there for a while. For advocates and patients, the day was particularly difficult. Patients with debilitating diseases like AIDS, who don't feel they have years to wait for the government to legalize medical marijuana, were hoping for a more compassionate outcome. Opponents of the measure said they were worried that the state would have problems regulating the drug and that it might lead to abuse, citing the much often quoted and oftentimes disproven gateway drug theory. State Representative Lou Lang told the Springfield Senate Journal Register that he does plan to reintroduce the bill in the next legislative session.
Well, you know, bad news in the state of Illinois, and the headline in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today on that was, Illinois legislature shoots down medical marijuana bill, which is a whole lot better than their headline from yesterday. The yesterday headline in the Post-Dispatch was, medical marijuana goes up in smoke. So whoever had January 6th and St. Louis in the when and where will we read the first pot pun headline of 2011 pool, you're a winner. Look, this was a very reasonable bill, and it's a shame it went down 60 to 56. It was a setup for a 3-year pilot project. So even if they had passed this, they would have had to reauthorize it in 3 years, or it would have sunsetted. It would have expired, right? So they couldn't even take that timid step into the water for a 3-year trial of medical marijuana. And as far as what it was in the bill here, it was very conservative type of a bill here. It set limits that were well within most of the medical marijuana states. All but 4 of the medical marijuana states have possession limits that are around 1 to 3 ounces. Of course, California, Washington, Oregon, and New Mexico have much higher limits than that. But compared to the other medical marijuana states, it was a very, very conservative bill. Now, one of the things, or a few of the things that might have damaged the bill, though, and this was something that was remarked by one of my commenters on the blog, is that it may have asked for too much. This bill also enacted protections for the rights of medical marijuana patients to work, to housing, to drive, and to parent, meaning that you couldn't be fired from your job for testing positive as a medical marijuana patient. You couldn't be kicked out of your house. They couldn't consider you a impaired driver solely because of metabolites in your system. And your child custody couldn't be taken away just because you're a medical marijuana patient. It also would have created a state registry, would have created a dispensary system, and it would have recognized the medical marijuana recommendations and cards from out of state. And it's impossible to tell if any of those things added to this bill were what caused some of the legislators not support it. But the commenter on my blog says, you know, let's keep it simple. Let's get legal medical marijuana, then worry about all the other parts that we can add to later. I've mentioned that before in my in some of my rants as well. It's a shame because this had already passed the Senate. If it had passed the House, it would have gone to the governor, and we'd have had our first medical marijuana state in 2011, the 16th state. And with the population of Illinois being as great as it is, we would have pushed to over 40% the number of people in the United States who live in a state where medical marijuana is legal. Now, the vote again was 60-56, although there was one legislator who voted present, which just means didn't cast yes or no, and then there was another legislator who was excused. I have the list of all of those legislators and their links to their websites, so if you would like to contact them in the state of Illinois and let them know what you think about them not supporting medical marijuana, the links are right there at stash.normal.org for you to be able to get in touch with them. Oh, and by the way, for people that you know are looking at this from a partisan standpoint, it was 39 Republicans and 19 Democrats that did not vote for medical marijuana this time around in the state of Illinois.
And in Nevada, federal authorities have come down on medical marijuana sellers, charging 15 people that have been selling marijuana through several Las Vegas storefronts for violating medical marijuana laws and marketing themselves as providing a health service, but instead selling marijuana for profit. U.S. Attorney David Bogden in Las Vegas announced the charges yesterday as part of an effort to crack down on what they are calling commercial sales of marijuana. Bogden released a statement today that said, quote, "Nothing in the Nevada Medical Marijuana Act permits the establishment of such commercial enterprises in Nevada, yet drug intelligence information indicates that there are currently 45 to 60 of these marijuana trafficking enterprises operating unlawfully in Las Vegas." Nevada passed their medical marijuana law in 2000. Medical marijuana advocates in Nevada say that the medical marijuana law in Nevada makes it difficult for patients to obtain the substance, since patients cannot buy or sell marijuana and can only grow 7 plants for personal use. Nevada's health department regulates the state's medical marijuana program, but tells the patients enrolling that they cannot provide any information on how to grow cannabis or how to get it in the 4 or 5 months it takes to harvest a crop of marijuana in their homes. The cases on the charges were filed on December 17th, but unsealed today, and 11 people were arrested in Las Vegas this morning, one in Los Angeles and 3 others outside of the Las Vegas area, on charges stemming from that case. They were charged with marijuana distribution, money laundering, and weapons possessions. Authorities named 5 businesses in the complaints: the Happiness Consultant, the Nevada Compassionate Center, Dr. Reefer, Las Vegas Fingerprinting, and Organic Relief. One of those arrested, Pierre Werner, also known as Dr. Reefer, said that after his business was raided last month, he thought that the authorities would leave them alone, adding, "No one should go to prison for a plant." Authorities in Nevada, along with federal agents, have been looking into medical marijuana clinics in and around Las Vegas for over a year now, and have raided businesses there a number of times this last year. Back in September, federal agents served search warrants at several locations, confiscated equipment, cash, and plants, but made no arrests. In the arrests made yesterday, the people charged in the raids are expected to be arraigned today. The high-profile dispensaries are closed today and probably indefinitely due to the arrests.
Yeah, this is a situation that we have in most of the medical marijuana states. It's the same thing going on in Oregon and others, where medical marijuana is made legal. So you have this whole pool of sick and disabled and sense-threatened people who jump through all the hoops. They go to see their doctor, and oftentimes their personal doctor won't recommend medical marijuana. So after spending the $200, $300, $400 to do the enough doctor visits to visit their regular doctor to document their condition, they then have to take all their records and all the trouble it takes to collect all their medical records to another clinic where there's a doctor who's compassionate who will sign for medical marijuana. That's usually another charge, another, you know, $100 or so that the patient's putting out. And then on top of that, they have to go to the state and then turn in all this paperwork to get on a registry and get a card to be in a database where law enforcement can search and find out, you know, whether or not they're medical marijuana patients. And after going through all that trouble, after verifying that they have a condition, after proving to the state that they are deserving of medical marijuana, they go through all that, they're not given any place to get the medical marijuana. The patients are just told, well, you're allowed to grow your own. Well, I'm in a wheelchair, or I have MS. I can't, you know, hold an implement in my hand, much less get on my knees and work in the soil. Well, that's too bad. You'll have to find someone to grow it for you. Well, I don't know anybody that grows marijuana. Well, that's too bad. You'll have to get it from someone who has access. Well, I don't know anybody that has access. You see, my point here is that we have a whole bunch of people who are made legal, legitimate medical marijuana patients, over 40,000 here in the state of Oregon and counting, and certainly many thousands in the state of Nevada. We give all these people the legal right to use this fantastic medicine, but we give them no legal way to get a hold of it. It's no surprise that entrepreneurs and compassionate people stand up and try to find a way to get this medical marijuana to the patients, and then the government comes in and busts the people trying to distribute the marijuana to them. They're asking for the people's registrations. They're trying to make sure they're only getting it to patients who really deserve it, and yet we still want to bust them. This will continue so long as the prohibition against marijuana for all adults exists, and so long as marijuana is thought of something that is dirty and a habit and an addiction that only people that are desperately sick should be allowed to engage in. We're going to change all that, and coming up in the Radical Rant, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about positive marketing for marijuana in 2011.
And a different kind of bust, law officials in Colorado unveiled an indictment today against an alleged large-scale marijuana trafficking ring that they say was using the state's medical marijuana laws as a cover. It's the largest operation in the state to be accused of exploiting medical marijuana laws to cover black market activities. 9 people were named in the indictment announced this morning by the Colorado Attorney General John Suthers. Investigators from the Attorney General's office and the Northern Colorado Drug Task Force seized 110 pounds of marijuana and 687 plants during the investigation. The operation is supposedly from Northern Colorado with growing operations in Erie, Fort Collins, Longmont, and Westminster. The indictment alleges that photocopied medical marijuana patient records in binders were found at each site to make it look like the operations were legitimate. Medical marijuana caregivers that say that the suspects were actually selling marijuana illegally to people throughout Colorado and New Mexico. Attorney General Suthers took a shot against the successful state's medical marijuana program that was voted on in 2000 and implemented in 2001. Suthers said, quote, "This case, while disturbing, should come as no surprise to Coloradans who have been concerned that there is a nexus between Colorado's booming medical marijuana industry and illegal distribution of the drug. This case counters the contention among marijuana advocates and some public officials that a regulated medical marijuana system will undercut the illicit market for marijuana." Unquote. Also in the prepared statement read this morning, Sergeant Gary Shakely with the Colorado Drug Task Force said, quote, "This case reflects a growing trend in Colorado of individuals and organized groups of individuals growing high-grade marijuana under the guise of Amendment 20 and blatantly distributing it to anyone willing to pay their price," unquote. He told media that the marijuana transported out of Colorado to New Mexico was resold for as much as $7,000 per pound. According to Suthers' office, the suspects moved to Colorado from New Mexico just to take advantage of the state's medical marijuana laws to cover their operation. The group is charged with violating the Colorado Organized Crime and Control Act, conspiracy to distribute marijuana, marijuana cultivation, and fraudulent use and theft of a marijuana registration card.
Well, this was reported in the Denver Post today, and the only thing I can say about it is that the Attorney General of Colorado, John Suthers, is really, really good at fighting straw men. In his quote, he says, "This case counters the contention among marijuana advocates that a regulated medical marijuana system will undercut the illicit market for marijuana." We've never claimed that. Nobody has ever claimed that a regulated medical marijuana system undercuts the illicit market for marijuana. We've claimed that providing a regulated system keeps patients out of the illicit market for marijuana. But so long as 90% of the people who enjoy using cannabis are defined as criminals, there will be some of them who will do everything possible to protect themselves under a medical marijuana law. So long as 90% of the market is criminal, there'll be some that will use the medical marijuana law to protect their business. The only thing you can do to undercut the illicit market for marijuana is to make that market legal. Make it no longer illicit. The profits are too great. $7,000 a pound in New Mexico for something that's selling for what, $1,000, $2,000, maybe $3,000 a pound in Colorado or California? Of course people are going to take advantage of it. Make it legal so that we can get rid of this stupid distinction between medical and recreational. And with that, we're going to take a little recreational break right here at Rolla J Studios. When we come back, Herb Thrasher from Herb Age Designs is with us with your Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would say to South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale, and never tried it again.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Mr. President.
I said, hey, do you have a joint cancer? Would be a lot cooler if you did. Lie to don't hide it. Well, lie to don't hide it. Just lie to don't hide it. Fire it up right now.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we take you into the weekend with Rockin' Friday, our segment featuring the best rock, metal, punk, and jam band music, brought to you by Herb Thrasher at herbthrasher.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, Tokers, we're back with Alabama's favorite Oregon Ducks fan, Scott, and Herb Thrasher from Herb Age Designs. How you doing, Herb?
All right, roll ducks, roll!
Roll ducks, roll! Glad to hear it, man. What do we got on tap for our Rockin' Friday today?
Man, I'm bringing the rock back. You know, past couple weeks we had a little bit of change. You know, the world of rock is always pressing and changing things. So, you know, we had some good rock, but this time we're going to bring back some rock. And this one goes out to one of Normalized Finest, Josh. So, Josh, you listen. This is for you, dude. This is your request. So the powerful songs, clean singing, and relentless touring of prosthetics, all that remains has earned them a fiercely loyal following in the metal and rock world. After initially forming in 1998 as a side project for Phil Labonte and guitarist Ole Herbert, the band left a stamp on the underground metal scene and its debut album, 2002's Behind Silence and Solitude. After bringing in guitarist Mike Martin and releasing this dark-hearted to rave views in 2004, All That Remains landed high-profile tours and shows alongside the likes of GWAR, Arch Enemy, and Slipknot, and toured virtually nonstop, only taking a break in 2005 to write new material. Fast forward to 2010, the band is still celebrating its success by releasing its new album, For We Are Many, landing on iTunes Best for 2010, and landing one of the top tours of 2011, the Jägermeister Tour with Buck Cherry and Hell Yeah. Look for All That Remains to continue its powerful drive towards dominance in the metal and rock world. The Air That I Breathe is one of those songs that can deliver many meanings depending on who is listening. So, clench your fist, turn up the volume and crank it, get your lighters out and inhale the smell, and enjoy the air that I breathe. Horns up, guys. Rock on.
All right, this is All That Remains with The Air That I Breathe.
the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media, and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Hi, I'm Keith Straub, the founder of Normal. In all the years since 1970 that I've been fighting marijuana prohibition, I've learned that drug warriors love to confuse the public with statistics. Lately, they've claimed that there are more teens enrolled in drug treatment for marijuana than ever before. It's a statement that, while true, is intentionally misleading. What they don't tell you is that marijuana arrests have skyrocketed to over 800,000 arrests per year. They also don't tell you that we've gone from a few dozen drug courts in the 1990s to over 2,500 drug courts today. The kicker is that those drug courts sentence teens routinely to drug treatment for marijuana, whether they need drug treatment or not. So they arrest more people for pot, require them to enter drug treatment, then claim the higher treatment numbers justify more pot arrests. It's an absurd proposition, but no more absurd than banning a plant. Learn the facts about pot. Visit NORML.org today.
Also by Barry McCaffrey, General Barry McCaffrey, I should say, retired general, military analyst at NBC, and most importantly for this conversation, former National Drug Policy Director, very familiar with this conversation.
Normal Show Live, where the truth about marijuana gets more than a minute to speak.
General, I'm going to begin with you.
Everybody's got to have some good, some bad to reach the comfort zone. Some of people have all kinds of people around. Some people can't hang alone. Whatever it is, whatever you like, you're gonna make it through your afternoon. Everybody's...
Yarr! Darby Pirates here!
Arr, 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 arr. The Pirate King!
You know why we pirates love the Normal Show? Because it's always smoking, matey.
This is Normal Show Live. Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed.
Marijuana culture is infused throughout America and the world. As we round out the week, we take a look at the 420 phenomenon in movies, TV, music, and sports with former High Times editor and author of Pot Culture, Steve Bloom, in our CelebStoner.com entertainment news. All right, welcome back, everyone. We are sitting here with Steve Bloom, who's calling us from New York City. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. You know, I stopped by your site the other day, and there was a maintenance issue going on. Is your site okay? Everything back up?
Back up. Have you checked?
I just got in today. I've been so busy, I hadn't checked.
Well, it wasn't a maintenance issue. We moved to a dedicated server. That was because of, high traffic volume and other issues at GoDaddy. We kind of, we were on a shared server, and we just were having, problems with the shared server. Plus, we got hacked a few weeks ago, too, so we were dealing with issues, kind of end-of-the-year issues. But it's resolved, and
we
moved to the dedicated server, bigger and better than ever.
Oh, it should be faster response. People really enjoy that, I'm sure. One of the things that we cover here in the Entertainment Report with Celeb Stoner is the Stoner Bus, and we've already got some Celebrity Stoner Bus right here in the first week of January. Why don't you tell our listeners about them?
It doesn't take long. I mean, the one that's got the most attention is Montel Williams. who was stopped at the Milwaukee airport on Tuesday. He was carrying a wooden marijuana pipe. Apparently there was no residue, so it must have been a very clean pipe because it was tested. He didn't have any marijuana. It's interesting how this goes down at airports. I'm not quite sure, you know, how this really happens, but if he gets stopped by TSA with a carry-on bag, which they find, you know, a marijuana pipe in the bag, however it is they found it. They stop him. They, you know, they make an issue out of it. They basically, they cite him. He's not arrested. He's cited. And then he's fined $400 and some odd. Who does he pay that money to? Some judge at the airport?
I don't know where that
goes. And then
goes.
He goes on his merry way to New York? He never left the airport.
Yeah, that's interesting.
As far as I know.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
I don't know how this goes down. We should ask, you know, Keith Stropp and some of the other normal lawyers to explain to us how citations work versus an arrest. To me, he was busted, you know, and he paid a fine, and it'll be on his record in some shape or form. I mean, marijuana is not decriminalized in Wisconsin, so, and nor is medical marijuana legal. So, you know, he didn't have any really leg to stand on, other than the fact that he basically had a unused marijuana pipe.
Right. And of course, everyone knows Montel is an activist for medical marijuana. He's been going to state houses and legislatures all around the country. You know, whenever somebody's got a bill, he's, you know, usually there testifying, letting people know. It seems like almost like shooting fish in a barrel. You know, it's like busting Willie's tour bus. I mean, come on.
Well, something like that. I mean, you know, if you want to really, you know, point at the guys, you know, or the people out there, the celebrities who are best known for their advocacy of, you know, legalizing marijuana, people like Bill Maher, Woody Harrelson, stuff like that, I suppose you could follow them around. So they go from airport to airport and, you know, bus, oh, here comes Willie, Woody, you know, let's go through his bag.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps that does happen because their reputation exists. But, you know, Montel's case, I guess he never had the problem up until now. You know, we're hoping maybe he'll jump aboard the Teapot Party, you know, as like another celebrity who's been arrested and is so pissed that they kind of want to embrace this, you know, additional movement, you know, which is part of what Normal and everybody else does. It's, you know, the Teapot's just sort of another avenue for people to sort of voice their opinions and stuff like that. So we'll see, you know, where Montel goes with this.
Well, we just got some news today on the Teapot Party and Willie Nelson endorsing Gatewood Galbraith for governor of Kentucky.
Yeah, it's something that that I pursued, you know, as sort of like the de facto guy behind the curtain, you know, working on the Teapot Party, you know, with Willie's, you know, support and blessing. You know, we're trying to sort of like steer the Teapot Party in a direction so people kind of understand what it really means. It's kind of amorphous to a lot of people right now. You know, Willie's, you know, motto is we lean a little to the left, you know, tax it, regulate it, legalize it as far as marijuana is concerned, and that's kind of the general principle behind the Teapot Party. But, you know, as we go into this new year, you know, what is the Teapot Party about? What does it stand for? And what can people, you know, do, you know, with it? And so, you know, I felt that I see that Gatewood Galbraith was running for governor in Kentucky yet again. He's run numerous times and lost every time. He's somebody who stands, you know, he's part of our legalization movement for years, going back to 1991 when he first ran for governor of Kentucky. Willie Nelson got involved with the campaign. When I worked at High Times, you know, I went with several other editors of High Times. We went to Kentucky for this campaign stop that was planned with Willie supporting Gatewood on a given, I forget what day it was, a weekday or a Saturday or something like that, and he toured around Kentucky, three different cities, you know, making speeches in behalf of Gatewood, and Gatewood had this car that used like hemp biodiesel oil, so that was kind of the first time we've really seen a car like that, you know, right around, and so the car and the bus were all sort of like trucking around the state that day, and it ended up in Lexington for a benefit concert. So, you know, Willie has sort of always, you know, been very supportive of Gatewood's campaigns, and he's run for, over the years, he's run for governor, attorney general, Congress, he never had too much luck, tried to sort of get in with the Democratic Party, didn't have much luck, and now he's back as an independent. He's running again, and I kind of felt that it was a great tie-in between Willie and Gatewood to, you know, let's do something so that people can really gravitate to, which is, you know, have Willie endorse Gatewood, and then that will explain to people a little bit more of what the Teapot Party is about, to get behind candidates who support what we believe in, or support candidates who are already in office and we want to keep in office, or, of course, course, you know, support initiatives and legislation. So those are sort of like the main areas. So with Gatewood and Willie, it just seemed like a natural. So I basically put everybody together. I got in touch with Willie. I got in touch with Gatewood, and Gatewood sent me back, you know, a lengthy email saying he would, you know, appreciate the support. And I went back to Willie saying, here's what Gatewood had to say. And Willie immediately, you know, got back to me today and saying, I'm a longtime friend of Gatewood Galbraith. We crossed Kentucky in a car that ran on hemp fuel one time when he ran for governor. I think the Teapot Party should back him this time. He's a good man and will do a good job. So, you know, what I'd like to see is, you know, the Teapot Party movement getting behind candidates like Gatewood Galbraith.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, locally in Kentucky, we, you know, have to sort of build up the movement there to, you know, get more support for Gatewood. And nationally, you know, let people, you know, focus on that and say, hey, this is one of these, you know, races that we're going to get behind. So if you live in Oklahoma and you want to make a donation, go to Gatewood Galbraith, you know, go to gatewood.com, essentially. It's just gatewood.com, and make a donation. And you could do it from any part of the, you know, the country.
Yeah, I love this Tea Party movement that's building to be overtly political and directly support candidates. You know, it's something as a nonprofit, you know, federal nonprofit educational arm, we can't really do. We can tell you what they've done, but we can't, you know, go out and directly advocate for these certain politicians. So it's filling a need that has been there for a long time, and I'm really happy this is taking off. Steve, I wanted to ask you.
By the way, one more thing on the Teapot Party. We are hiring our next meetup on January 18th. So we're encouraging people to go to meetup.com and go to Teapot Party, you know, or slash meetup.com/Teapot Party, and then sign up for the meetups on the 18th. Either organize one if there isn't one already organized in your local area, or sign up for the one that already exists. So right now, you know, there was a lot of interest last time around. We had a meetup in December, Austin, and a lot of the southern, sort of southwestern states really got involved in New York, and we're getting a lot of interest in one particular town in Arkansas called Mountain Home. There's like more people signed up for that one than any other right now, which is kind of cool. It's kind of an interesting small town angle. But Austin is kind of the epicenter of the Teapot Party movement because of Willie's, you know, proximity, you know, to Austin when he's, you know, living in Texas when he's not on the road. So we're just encouraging people to get together in person and share their ideas and then come back and report back to us as to, you know, what came out of those meetups. And we're going to put out an agenda next week, which will focus on the stuff we're talking about now, the candidates and stuff like that, what you can do, and, you know, direct people a little bit so they know where they're going with the Teapot Party.
That is great. And we're speaking with Steve Bloom, the editor-in-chief of CelebStoner.com, also the co-author of Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life, and the new Reefer Movie Madness, and I forget the subtitle to that one.
The Ultimate Stoner Film Guide.
That's it. The Ultimate Stoner Film Guide. You can pick those up. Check out the Celeb Stoner website for more information. And, you know, we mentioned Montel being one of the big high-profile busts in this first 7 days of 2011. Do we have any other sports or music figures that have been caught up in 2011?
There was a music figure. There's a rapper from Georgia named Waka Flocka. Now, I never heard of this gentleman, sometimes I learn of rappers after they get arrested. Someone like Wiz Khalifa, for instance, or Little Boosie, some of the southern rappers. Actually, Wiz Khalifa's out of Pittsburgh, that's sometimes when I learn a little bit more about them, unfortunately, after they get arrested. And Waka Flocka is a guy, I think he lives in L.A., but is based in, was from Georgia. He's got like a whole situation going back to a lot of these guys have gun charges, and then they have like a visitation from a probation officer, and then something happens. They find either some marijuana or maybe something else, and so he had a problem. They went to his house in Georgia. He wasn't there in December, so they put out a warrant, and then he surrendered a couple of days ago. So that was the other marijuana-related celebrity bust for this year so far.
Okay. And another story that I wanted to touch on, which I don't really have a marijuana angle for this, but I thought it should be mentioned because some of the younger listeners out there might not know this man's contributions, but Jerry Rafferty passed away. In the sad story of Jerry Rafferty, you know, dealing with depression and everything he dealt with. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more about Jerry Rafferty so, you know, we can remember his legacy?
Well, yeah, you know, since I'm somebody who kind of grew up in the 60s and 70s and really kind of matriculated in the 70s, I'm pretty familiar with the music of the period. And I was a big fan of Jerry Rafferty. Jerry Rafferty, there was a couple of original groups that he started with, but the one that people know the best is Steeler's Wheel. Now, Jerry is a Scottish singer-songwriter, and so in the late 60s, early 70s, he started to perform, and he and a boyhood friend started Steeler's Wheel. And Steeler's Wheel is kind of known as a one-hit wonder group, essentially, for the famous song Stuck in the Middle with You, which is such a great, 70s song. 1973, top 10. The band didn't really go much farther than that, and that was their one big hit. They had a little bit of falling out, and then Jerry had some record company problems, so he didn't record for several years, from like 73, 74 to about 78. 78 was his big breakthrough, when he came out with his soul album, City to City, that had the famous hit Baker Street with that wailing saxophone solo. Right. And that was just a great song. He's kind of considered like a master of soft rock. They consider it soft rock or like a ballad, or he also had another. That album is such a great album, The City to City. Any just fans of music, go back and find it. I have it, fortunately, in my album collection. It had another great song called Right on Down the Line. And there was just something about Jerry Rafferty. He just had a way of communicating his music so that it was, in a pop form and very listenable and very lyrical and great harmonies, and it was just of the period, it's music of the period, the late 70s with saxophones and guitars and good singing, kind of like Billy Joel, where he had a lot of saxophones playing behind him too, but he was the Scottish version, and so huge hit, huge album, millions and millions sold, to the point where Jerry Rafferty really didn't have to work again for the rest of his life.
Yeah, I read somewhere that just off of Baker Street alone, off the royalties of Baker Street, he was making $125,000 a year.
Something like that, right? Yeah. So he was constantly just getting money because of the success of that album, that song, and which is an amazing lesson for, young, songwriters and stuff, what you can benefit from if you look out and have a big hit, could carry you through the rest of your life. But the problems that Jerry Rafferty had apparently were he didn't really get along very well with the music establishment. When he had his big hits in that era, the late 70s, he refused to travel. He didn't go on the road. He didn't tour. He also turned down offers to perform with people like Paul McCartney and Clapton, because he just didn't feel like he was as good as them, and even at that point, when he was at the top of the world, he was turning down a lot of opportunities. And so after a couple of more soul albums, things just didn't work out for him. He did albums throughout the 80s, but less and less attention, and he just kind of went back to his farm in Scotland and basically drank his life away. He just drank, and he maybe was in a sort of a long period of depression. He broke up, his marriage broke up, and we didn't hear much from Jerry Rafferty until this week, when he passed away, having sort of lived in obscurity for the last 20 years of his life. It's just such a kind of an odd, sad story. What happens, for pop and rock singers, who have these great, periods of success, and then can kind of disappear and become somewhat of a failure because they never do anything again. I mean, the guy obviously was a huge success because of what he accomplished, but you might need to accomplish a little bit more in your life than just rest on the laurels of a particularly great song.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
Yeah, Jerry Rafferty passed away this week, and I found his music to be fantastic. And the younger folks who may not recognize the Steeler's Wheel reference, if you go back and get a copy of Tarantino's Reservoir Dogs, Stuck in the Middle with You is the famous scene.
Right, famously. And so I posted all this stuff on my Facebook page, which is Steve Bloom Dude, if you look for it. And I posted, clips from, Steeler's Wheel, the Baker Street and Right on Down the Line, and a bunch of obits and stuff like that. It just made me feel sad, that this guy kind of, passes away. But the way he passed away, and that he just kind of became such an obscure artist when he was such a big success, so many years earlier. It's just the way it really should be. And it's just sometimes, it's kind of his doing and undoing, but, sometimes the industry just kind of gobbles you up and spits you out and forgets about you.
Yeah. Well, we'll light a bowl
until you're gone.
Yeah. We'll light a bowl in memory of.
And then you get all the tributes.
Yeah. I was going to say, you know? We'll light a bowl in memory of Jerry Rafferty, and we'll wrap things up with Steve Bloom from CelebStoner.com. Thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thanks a lot, Russ.
Just say no.
No matter what you call it, it's a huge part of popular culture.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
You don't need weed school. You just need a copy of the new book, Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life.
Hey, this is great, man.
Even if you never smoked marijuana.
I never used marijuana. Sorry.
Don't think you smoked marijuana.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two and didn't inhale.
Or you used to smoke marijuana.
I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Pot Culture by former High Times editor Steve Bloom and Shirley Halperin will answer every question you ever had about marijuana culture.
Has that marijuana made it back up here yet?
Check out Pot Culture, the A to Z Guide to Stoner Language and Life at Amazon.com or visit PotCultureBook.com today.
Too bad, man. I just stopped smoking yesterday.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, tokers and tokettes, I've got some interesting stuff to talk about for today's radical rant, entitled, It's Not Enough to Prove Prohibition is Bad. We need to prove that marijuana is good. I'm talking about marketing here, and to begin this discussion, I'm going to talk about some inside information that I have. I can't tell you where I got the information or how I know it, but, oh my goodness, we're not ready to stop yet. See what happens when Ganja John's not here? The whole show falls apart. Anyway, as I was saying, it's not enough now to prove that prohibition is bad. We got to prove that marijuana is good. And I got some inside information on some post Prop 19 polling that took place. And, it kind of shows this, effect. What they have found in this polling is they asked people their attitudes about marijuana and their attitudes about alcohol. And when they asked people about marijuana, they asked them, you know, what is your overall feeling about marijuana, positive or negative, good or bad? And the majority of people say that marijuana is bad, right? The majority of people have a negative impression of marijuana. Now, not people that are currently using it. People that are currently using it don't generally have a negative impression, but still, there's enough of them that do. Even users, regular users of marijuana that have a negative impression, that it brings the overall majority, the overall number up to a majority. And of course, the less people use marijuana, or the people that don't use marijuana, have a much higher opposition to it, the feeling that it's not good. Strangely enough, they found that the people who used to smoke pot like 10 or more years ago, a majority of them have a negative perception of marijuana. Now, when they compared that to alcohol, they asked people if they had a negative or positive perception of alcohol, and the majority had a positive perception of alcohol. They thought of it positively. The interesting thing, though, is they also asked people whether they thought marijuana or alcohol were the more harmful substance. And the majority says alcohol is the more harmful substance. So you got a situation here when people think about it logically, and they evaluate marijuana versus alcohol, they realize alcohol is more harmful. They think about drunk drivers. They think about alcoholism. They think about all the damage it causes to healthy cells and organs, the obnoxious, rude drunks they run into, whatever, right? They have a negative, they have a perception that alcohol is more harmful to the user and to society than marijuana. But when they look at it emotionally, they look at it morally, more people think marijuana is bad compared to alcohol. And this can be attributed to propaganda on both sides. This can be attributed to the propaganda we've seen against marijuana from the past, well, at least 40 years since Nixon, last 70 years since Anslinger and Hearst, and that negative propaganda that has continued to portray marijuana as immoral, as dirty, as a habit, as an addiction, as a vice, that has sunken into the American consciousness. Likewise, commercial after commercial for beer, showing beer drinkers to be happy and young and athletic and fun and talented. All the people we see supporting beer advertisements. You see Eric Clapton playing for Budweiser, for example. People associate beer and alcohol with good times and traditions and celebrations. So when it comes to legalizing marijuana, it's not enough to prove that the prohibition is bad. We've done that. I think by and large, a lot of people realize that the war on drugs is, as to quote Barack Obama, an utter failure. And we see that in the polls too. When we ask people what they think about the war on drugs, almost, you know, huge majority say that the war on drugs is a failure. But they can't make that leap from what we're doing now sucks to we should legalize marijuana because of that moral hurdle. They cannot get past the moral hurdle of marijuana is bad, it's evil, it's dirty, it's disgusting, it's a habit, it's an addiction, it's a vice. They can't get past that. So it is time now, as marijuana advocates, to start moving to proving marijuana is good, that marijuana is fun, that it's a harmless way to relax, it's a way to socialize with other people. It's the intelligent decision to make if you want to party, rather than choosing alcohol. Marijuana needs a marketing campaign. Marijuana needs to be thought of like a candidate that's running for office. And we need to show all the positives of marijuana use, of responsible marijuana use. It's not enough to prove that prohibition is bad. We need to prove that marijuana is good. And this is something that's kind of a thorny issue when we start talking about the big drug law reform organizations. When we look at Marijuana Policy Project in their byline as far as what their mission statement is, there's a little part that says to reduce the harms associated with marijuana, right? And it's basically an anti-prohibition stance. It's a stance that says prohibition causes more harm than marijuana. By framing it that way, you're saying marijuana causes harm. You know, Drug Policy Alliance has somewhat of a similar idea, you know, harm reduction. And every time we talk about that, we are illustrating that marijuana is harmful, and we are bolstering that moral argument against it. You know, I think it's time that we start, and you know, I'm going to be pushing for this from inside Normal, and those of you out there can push Normal from the outside. We need to start being more pro-marijuana. That marijuana is a good thing, that we should encourage people to switch from alcohol to marijuana, that we should start in showing people the events that we have that are marijuana themed and how wonderful they are. For example, the Seattle Hemp Fest. Every year I go to Seattle Hemp Fest and there are 100, 150, 200,000 people gathered in a 1.6 mile park. No alcohol is served, but there's plenty of marijuana to be had. And we don't see thefts or fights or belligerence or puking or any of the negative consequences that we see associated with, say, a Seahawks game at Quest Field, where there's 50,000 people, no marijuana available, but all the beer you could possibly want to drink. You know, I talk to those cops all the time, whether they'd rather work a Seahawks game or whether they'd rather work the Hemp Fest. And every time they come back and they say they'd rather work the Hemp Fest. And we've shown this not just in liberal tolerant places like the Pacific Northwest. They have hemp fests in Missouri. They have hemp fests in Michigan. They have hemp fests in Wisconsin, all over the United States. And we show time after time that the marijuana using population, the marijuana public is much more responsible about this than your typical beer drinkers, beer gardens, and the like. So work with me in 2011. I'm taking your ideas here at stash@normal.org. How can we prove to people that marijuana is good? What are the elements of the positive marketing campaign for marijuana? I know some people think stop calling it marijuana and start calling it cannabis. That's part of it, maybe. Let's talk about that. In Hour 2, Toker Talk Radio, how are we going to build the marijuana marketing plan? How are we going to make marijuana a positive in this society? We'll take your calls at 971-533-7111 in our Hour 2. For Ganja John and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ for the Normal Foundation at Rolla J Studios here in Potland, Oregon. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, every day, with more news interviews that you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.